First of all, it's just really an honor to be here on this Wednesday evening. My bio is lying. I don't know how I did all that. I really don't. I was just a bad kid from Newark, New Jersey, that God's hand got laid upon. I hated school. And I got an education. I don't know how it happened, but I do know that God is good and God is real. So I like to pray before I get started, and then we're going to go into the Word. I am so honored to be here, Pastor. I know that we've just had a great relationship, and it's just developing. And so thank you to Cross Cultural Church for having me tonight. Tonight's message is your life. Your legacy, becoming legacy minded. And so, Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you because you are God and you do it all. You are on the throne, and God, you're God alone. We do nothing without you. And so, I invite you in here. You're already in here. You were in here before we got here. And Lord, I ask you that you will speak through me, that you will use me, God. I am just a tool. And Lord, you will do the work, and you get all the glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Your life, your legacy, becoming legacy-minded. The backdrop of the scripture is going to come out of Jeremiah 29:11. And we know the scripture as Christians. It's one of our more prevalent sketches that we used. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And this is coming out of the NIV version. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future." And I'm going to read further. And it says, "Then you will call on me and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. And when you seek me, you will seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Definition of legacy from the Webster's Dictionary says, "An amount of money or property left in someone's will, a bequest, an inheritance, a benefactor, an endowment, a gift, a settlement, a birthright, and a provision." When we were born, we were all born into a legacy. We were born to what our grandparents did and our great-grandparents. Us being African Americans, we were born into this system of slavery. I like to call it PTSD, which is post-traumatic slavery syndrome. Okay, we were born into something, right? We were handed something, whether we liked it or not. We were dealt a deck of cards, right? And it's up to us, right, from our education, from our family, from our structure, from our family system, from our traditions, from our skills, from what financial background we came from. Right, all of those things played a part in our legacy. They played a part in the system and the structure that we came into, the society, our culture. Right, all of those things played a part in our legacy. Right, the world. We were all born in sin. Right, we were born into this world. Right, so that we came into a system through a legacy of sin. Right, that was the system we were born into. And in that world, it was fun sometime, right? We party, we drank, we got high, we did all of those things that that part of the world gave us and offered us, right? And that was fun at a time. I know it was fun for me. It was real fun for me, right? It offered me some relief. It offered me, right? I came into a family that was not so functional. Right? How many of us came into a dysfunctional family? Right? All right. So that was what we had, right? And so when we were handed this legacy, we played it out, right? And then we came to church and we heard about church, right? And then we heard that there was a Savior, right? But when we came into the kingdom, we started to get a new legacy, right? We started to experience some new things. We became new, right? We became born again. And so that started to define our new purpose in life, right? I had a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, a plan to give you hope in a future. We didn't get that when we were in the world, right? We got that when we started to come into the kingdom. And so our legacy started to change. And so what we started to do then is we started to get God's plan, right? God's plan was to prosper us. Many of us don't even know what that means. And so what happened was we had these two systems going back and forth. And we know in the 80s and 90s, we started hearing about the prosperity gospel, right? Name it, claim it, right? And the Catholic Church wanted us to stay poor, right? So we've been doing this tug of war. And then when we did get some prosperity, they started talking about us, right? And so, but that wasn't a prosperity that God was talking about. Right? His prosperity was for us to prosper in our families, right? Prosper in our businesses, prosper as people. And so that prosperity was a new prosperity, right? And if money came along, that was great, but that wasn't the end all because we know we can't take any of this with us. And so as I'm defining my prosperity, as we're defining our purpose, then we know that God's purpose for us is good, right? It was not to harm us, right? We came into a system of harm. We came into this world. We came into this country through harm, through chattel slavery, through all of those things. And so in our communities, it really started to affect us in many ways. And as Nito said, I'm a part of a mental health facility, and I work with lots of our people, right? And I see the effects of generational curses and generational dysfunction. And so one of the things that started to really stir me up and really started to really just stir my heart up, and my mom is here, and she worked for the Division of Youth and Family Services, which is a child protection agency, for about 25 years. So she would come home and tell me about this stuff. And then how do I go into social work after all of these years, right? Legacy, right? She started to do something in my life, and I wanted to be a business owner. I went to school to be a sports agent, not to be a CEO of a mental health facility. But because God got a hold of my life, it wasn't about what I wanted. It was about what God wanted me to do. And because I had surrendered to God, I could go and do what God called me to do, right? And so her legacy and my grandmother's legacy of being a social servant as a nurse, those things, and my uncle, we have a family who's in social service. She has three nieces that are all in social services, right? And so our legacy started to get passed down. Her brother called her and said, Sandy, come work for DIFAS, right? Come work for this division. You got a call in your life, right? And so those are the things that started to happen. So coming into this social services aspect of life, we started to see that there were a lot of broken people who needed the Lord. And my mom's ministry for 23 years wasn't in a pulpit. It was on those battlefields, right? See, the church is a filling station. That's all it is. And our legacy and our mission is to go out there into the world and bring Christ out into the world. And so as we start to define legacy and we start to look at what God's plan for us, is it to prosper us, is to give us a hope in a future, in a good future at that. Life's going to happen. Life's going to hit us. I tell some of my clients, life flat out sucks sometimes. But because I know Jesus, because I know a Savior who has a good life for me, because I know a Savior who moves and lives and has his being in me, then it's going to be all right no matter what happens in my life. And so when I know that God's future is good for me, and God's plan did not happen by accident. None of us are here by accident. I deal with a lot of depression in my field. A lot of it. And I've seen people and I've been ministering. It's not just a job for me. It's just not a title. It's my ministry. And I see people who are depressed, and I see people who are just going through it. And I'm not making any mistakes that depression is real. It is. But it's inward anger. And if you start to deal with the inward anger, and if you start to deal with the pain, and I say this to my client, and if you find a savior that you know is good, and you find this word, and you get into this word can heal you. And so another part of my mother's legacy was I hated going to church every Monday, every Sunday. But see, my mother didn't give me a choice. What she did, she said, you don't have to go to church on Sunday, but you ain't doing nothing else during the week, so you make a choice. And so her persistence and her pursuit, knowing that she needed to make sure her son had a foundation, because that's what her mother did for her. And my great-grandfather was a pastor. He was an AME pastor. So I got some legacy. I got some things in me. Right? And so knowing that this did not happen by accident. And see, sometimes the enemy comes after your children. Right? Sometimes the baddest ones become me. Because if you have a conversation with her, she's going to tell you, dude, this don't look like the guy she raised. He'll tell you that. So this did not happen by accident, right? So because the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come. But I come. Right? And so you can't fight it, right? You can't fight this thing. I remember going into churches, and I couldn't, man, y'all. I go to church, and I'll be in the back with 3,000 members, and the pastor pull you out, son. God got a plan for you. I'm like, yo, my sister, she started going to a church with 10,000 members. She got me up to the corner with she dragged me up to the pulpit. I was still in the world, y'all. I was raised in church, but I liked the world. And I was in this, and my sister said, come with me. And she said, come up to the front. I'm like, I'm not going up there. She dragged me. And the pastor started preaching and prophesying on me. You're going to help men all over the world. You're going to do this. I told my sister, I said, this dude don't know what he's talking about. I'm about to go get me some liquor, and I'm going back to the couch. Here I am, y'all. See, God's plan is good. God's plan don't make no mistakes. And so when we know that God has a plan for us, God's plan is to give us a hope in the future. That hand we're dealt with, let's play it out. But we don't play it out trying to figure it out by ourselves. And so many of us come to church and, you know, we do the church thing in the religious dance. And I'm not saying anybody here, I hope not, but we do sometimes. And, you know, we do this religious dance. But then we go home and we're still broken. See, this Bible right here is to heal us. It's to fix us. Right? Counseling is great. I'm in the field. I think everybody needs to sit down with a professional counselor. That's just my opinion. Make sure they're Christian. But make sure they know this word. But so we get these hands and we dealt with them and they're given to us. And again, we have to play them out, right? But I love what it says. See, sometimes we stop at Jeremiah 11, but it says something, and I love this part. It says, then you will call on me and you will come to me and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. It's a promise. When we pray, he's going to listen. He's going to definitely listen. But I love it because he says, God's word is so real. He said, I know all your needs. I know all your wants. I know all your desires. Just surrender to me. And when you surrender to me, then you know what? Your family's going to be all right. You can't fix your family. You can pray for them. But we get involved in wanting to fix them. I can't even fix me. Right? And so I get this hand again, and I'm dealing with family, and I'm dealing with spiritual legacy. And, you know, it's something that me and my mom, we were going back and forth. I was talking to her about, and she said, the spiritual legacy, and I love what she said, the Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I got this spiritual thing. I know that God is, he got me. But see, that's when I walk in his authority. I got to walk in God's authority. I got to walk in his power. I got to walk in everything that he has for me. Right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Everything is God's. But we don't know how to surrender to him. Right. And so I'm building my legacy, I'm becoming legacy minded. And becoming legacy minded is, what am I going to leave for my future? When am I going to leave the next generation? My grandfather left it for me. He was an AME pastor. I have all his licenses from the 1800s. But not just that. He left his mother, hit my grandmother. She was the Christian as they come, but She never went to church. She watched Fred Price on TV every Sunday. And that was her pastor. But every Sunday, and the thing that I remember about my grandmother more than anything, God rest her soul, is she was a woman who stayed on her knees. See, I remember something about this woman I remember why my mother persisted on me going to church every Sunday. Right, I remember those things. Right, so I can know that their prayers got me to where I am today. Right, and so knowing that I got a mother that was a praying mother and a grandmother that was a praying mother, grandmother, those are the things. And I'm sure she had a father that was a praying father. Right, those are the things that helped me to be and shaped me to become the man I am today. Right. And so we have this spiritual legacy. And then we have a financial legacy. Right. Poor, middle class, rich, which one you want to be. This world is rich. Right. And one of the things that we talk about and I talk about a lot is, do we have a financial planner? Right. Do we take care of our finances? As African Americans, we spend trillions of dollars. But statistics say that as African Americans, we don't have even less than $1,000 in savings. That's a statistic. But we spend trillions of dollars. What are we doing for our families? Right? As I'm leaving a legacy, as I'm building, it says a good man leaves his children's children's children an inheritance. And I've heard so many times in going back to PTSD, post-traumatic slavery disorder. Oh, I don't want to leave my kids anything. I don't want them to leave anything because they're going to spend it all up. And that's a sad statement, right? Because if I got a financial plan, I put things in place for them. Right? Because we are supposed to be building up our children's children's children. We're supposed to be doing those things as a community, right? We spend so much money, but then we have nothing in savings. And again, are we pouring into the next generation? And as Christians, that's what we're supposed to do. That's a mandate. It says a good man leaves his children, children, children. That's three generations, and we should go further. Right? Because we've been dealt three and four generations of slavery. Right? We've been dealt this broken hand, but it's up to us today because we have the resources, we have the tools, we have the educational ability that maybe our grandparents didn't have. Right. And so as I'm building this future and I'm building this legacy, as we're doing this stuff, as I'm becoming legacy minded, I have these things in place. Is your strategy currently working? And do you have one? Becoming legacy-minded means I'm walking out of here and I'm thinking about my future, and I'm thinking about my generation, and I'm thinking about my son's children and his children. I'm thinking about these things. Because God's plan for us is to prosper us and to give us a hope in the future. And that future is not just for us. That future is for our children. That future is for the generations to come. That future is for the people that we're going to invest in time and time again, even when we're gone. This church is going to go on. It's going to go on. I told the pastor Walker a couple of months ago, I knew this was a year of, what's this year? Godly influence, but this is a year of growth and explosion. Right? This is a year, this man is diligent. He's building his legacy. I hear about this man up in New Jersey. He's a godly man. And that says something. This church will go on. His legacy will live through. Right? So I'm doing that. Knowledge, education, working skills. Having those things in place. Making sure that our kids get an education that we didn't get. Making sure that they can do those things. Making sure that their student loans are not, that they're not in debt and going through that stuff. Those are the things that we should be planning for as we're building our future. And again, today is a timeout if you haven't. We can change momentum. We can go and we can ask God and we can repent. We can turn around. We can ask God for the guidance in a direction. I know I had to. I knew I was going down a one-way street and it wasn't working. And if it wasn't for the Lord, and if it wasn't for my mother's prayers, and if it wasn't for my grandmother's prayers, and all of their girlfriends, and whoever else was praying for me, I wouldn't be here today. And a little bit about me, I was a rough dude. I really was. I liked the streets. I sold drugs. I played in the streets. I liked to drink. I liked chasing women. My favorite thing was weed, wine, and women. It was. Right. And today it's just not like that. And it was because God got a hold of me. God got a hold of me. And I'll tell you where he got a hold of me at, guys. He got a hold of me in a jail cell. In 2007, and like I said, I was raised in church from the age of 17. But in 2007, the gig was up. I'd been drinking and partying and trying to stop for years, and I couldn't. And one night, I was coming. We lived in the suburbs, a really in pretty white area. And I call on my guardian angels in blue. One night, I was coming out of a club that I said I wasn't going to go into. And I went in, and I was only going to have a couple. And the night when I came out, I was going up the mountain, and my guardian angel in blue pulled me over. And I had been pulled over before, always sharp dressing, nice cars, all that stuff, and most of the cops would let me go. And so I thought I had it. This one's going to do the same thing. And he said, "Nah, you're going to jail tonight." And in that jail cell, I cried out to God like I had never cried out before. And I said, "I can't live this way anymore." And I screamed it. I was like, "I just can't live this way anymore." And I heard these words, "You don't have to." And on May 12, 2007, I walked out of that jail cell, and I've never touched alcohol again. See, God is real, right? And then I fell on my knees and I said, "God, I'm all yours." At that point, I only had an associate's degree. I was chasing the money. I was chasing all the things that world looked like it offered me. I had gone through a divorce. I went through another breakup. And it was just a perpetual cycle. It was a vicious cycle. And I was living on a fast road to hell. When I came out of the jail cell, I cleaned up. I called some brothers. Chris was one of them. And I told them I needed some help. And these brothers said, "Look, man, we're going to love you till you learn how to love yourself." See, those brothers were building into this legacy. Right? We all need accountability. We all need brothers and sisters who can carry us when we can't carry ourselves. And God put a team around me. He put a group of men in my life that they really showed me what godly men were about. Because at the time, I thought that godly men were weak, and, you know, I saw some things I shouldn't have seen in church, and I kind of got turned off by church. But these men, they rallied around me, and they were young men, and they were on fire for the Lord, and they were doing things, and they were building legacies. And so in 2009, I really got healthy, and Chris came to me, and he said, yo, I got a men's organization that's been on my heart for an X amount of years, probably about 10 years. And I said, Chris, let's do it. Because God, one of the things that he put in my heart was, and in me, is if you come to me with a plan, we're going to execute it. And so we began to build this ministry that you guys are hear more about on Sunday. And we started touching men all over the world, all over the country. Fern, he joined us in 2011. Him and Chris had gone to school. And so these are things that started to happen for me. Because, again, I was out there in the world. My legacy wasn't looking to women. I had a father who had 8 kids by 6 different women. And I was the one that they told I was just like. And I really was. I was just like them. I didn't find them until I was 24, and that's in my book. And we had a journey. We really had a journey. It was a painful journey. And we got to heal our relationship. And it took years, right? So it was a lot of healing that had to take place. Right, so as we're building legacy, sometimes we got to deal with the pain that our parents caused, that our ancestors caused, that come through us, through whatever, because there's no perfect family. Not one. And so in that pain that I had, because my father wasn't in my life, I blamed the alcohol and all that stuff on him. And the reality was I drank because I loved to drink, and I party because I loved to party. I had nothing to do with my father. But I needed a scapegoat. In 2015, after healing a 20-year relationship, my father and I, we were on a hiking trip in Hawaii, and my father had a heart attack and dropped dead on the mountain. And I was the one who ran to him and tried to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And all of the pain and all of the hurt and everything just came out on that mountain, and I left it there. And one of the things that I remember was my father breathed back into me, and I said, you know what? I get to do this differently. I get to do something differently. And the difference is, and my dad was a great man. He was a servant. You know, he had his issues. There's a ward that his church named after him because he wanted the things that my father was a servant. He loved serving people, even in his brokenness, because we all have it. And that's one of the things that I said I want to do, that I wanted to keep, that my father had. One of the greatest qualities, he was a servant. And I want to serve to the day I leave here. And that's one of the things that I want my legacy to be. And each one of us have to define that for ourselves. What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to walk out of here and say, you know what, when I'm lying there in that coffin, what are they going to say about me? And those are the things that we talk about when we're dealing with legacy, is what are they going to say when I leave here? What am I going to do? Who am I going to be? What has God created me to be and to do while I'm here? We only got a short time on this earth. If we live to 100, we still short time. This earth is 1 billion years old. How can I leave my part? They're 4 or 5 generations now, and they're going to say, you know what, Malik Carey, well done. Pastor, well done. This church is going to be here. And so as we know that, and I'm coming to a close, that God has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us, a plan to give us a hope in the future, we get to redo it sometime. We get to understand that we do have a chance to build a legacy. I grow every day. Right? I have to get into this word. I have to do what this word has called me to do, right? It's to read it, to understand it. John Hagee said something I'm never going to forget. He said, if you see a man whose Bible is falling apart, you're going to see somebody's life was together. I never forgot that. My saying is, I stay on my knees before life brings me to my knees. I stay on my knees before life brings me to my knees. Because if I'm in a surrender state, if I'm here, and I know that God is real, and I'm crying out to him daily, then when life hits me, I'm okay. Because I know it's just a challenge. I'm not going to fall apart because guess what? This has been read a few times. It's read every day. And so life is going to hit us, and so I grow daily. That means I'm growing in my spiritual, in my quiet time, in my spending quiet time alone. Become like Jesus. Jesus had to get alone. He wasn't just when he was pouring into people. But if you look after every time he poured into somebody, he went and got alone. And so we have to do that. We have to grow daily, right? We have to grow relationally with people. Who am I mentoring? Who am I helping? Who's the person that I'm bringing up under me? Who am I sharing my story with? We all have one. And each one of us in here can help someone else with our stories. And sometimes we're too embarrassed and we're too ashamed of what our lives used to look like. My life was muddy. It was murky. But I'm not afraid to say, because guess what? God cleaned me up. He made me a new man. And this is God. When Nino was reading this resume, I'm like, that's not me. I never wanted to go to school. I hated it. Sitting here with a master's degree, 3.8 student. That was God. One of the best schools in the country, Seton Hall University. Walked into the school, and I'm telling you a testimony. They accepted me in 2 days. That's God. God can do it. Getting our business and our finances in order. These are things that we do to build a legacy. And most important, taking care of our families and our churches and our communities. There's some of us that have been called to the world. There's some of us that have been called to the community, to the local community. But we're all here to serve. All of us. And most of all, and I love this scripture. This is Deuteronomy 6:6-9. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these things I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on your doorposts of your home and at your gates. One of the things that my mom did for me was she talked to me about Jesus. One of the things that my grandmother did, and we had a babysitter, they talked to me about Jesus. We have to talk to our children, even when they don't want to hear it. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. Come on. We got to let them know that Jesus is real. Because our generation, our future, they're at our hands. Right? We got to become relevant to them. We got to meet them sometime where they are. Stop telling them to pull their pants up and start loving them. Taking off their baseball hats. In our church, you can wear baseball hats. It's part of their outfit. I'm not going to mess up their outfit. They'll come to us. And the biggest thing what we want in our legacy is to know that we brought children to this community, to this world. And statistically, kids give their lives to the Lord at really early ages. 13 to 21. And so that's what we want to go after. We want to go after the youth so that they learn how to build legacies a little earlier than we did. And so as I get ready to close, I'm again so honored to be here and so honored to be able to share this time, this Wednesday evening, with you guys. And I know that God is real and he loves us. I hope this message really just touched someone to know that we have a future in God. We have a future in God's future is to give us a hope in the future, to prosper us. And again, it's not always about money. We need that in this society. We do. Right? We got to pay our bills. But I know that God said, I'll give you all you need. And so I walk knowing that God's going to give me all I need. I hope I brought a great message. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this opportunity to just share what you've placed on my heart. God, I pray that this message was well received and that, Lord, that we will walk out of here knowing that there's work to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
And I want you to see how God took a life that was moving in a different direction and began to mold that life into a testimony so that now what Brother Malik is sharing is ministry to all of us. All of us can profit and benefit from what we're receiving here. So thank you, brother. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you and becoming the man that you are, because now your message is making an impact upon many people's lives. Amen. Let's give God a hand and let's praise God for it.